Ladies and gentlemen, it's 6:30. Let's start this meeting of the Currie Beach Town Council. I'd like to make it as efficient as possible, respect everybody's time. So we shall begin with the invocation and pledge of allegiance from Pastor Kathy Chester from Carolina Coastal Vineyard Church. Pastor?
Heavenly Father, let me first say thank you on behalf of all who are gathered here this evening. Thank you for your many and abundant blessings. Thank you for the ability and honor to be involved in our community and for the freedom we have as Americans. In the scriptures, you have said that citizens ought to obey the governing authorities, since you have established those to promote peace and order and justice. Therefore, I pray for our mayor pro tem, and for this assembled council. I am asking that you would graciously grant them wisdom to govern amid many interests, issues, and priorities, a sense of the true needs of the residents and visitors of Currie Beach, the ability to work together in harmony, and a personal peace and joy in their lives, especially as life begins getting more chaotic at this time of year. I pray for the agenda set before them today. It is in your most blessed name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
And everyone stand up and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor. To start this evening, I would like to have a motion to excuse Mayor Swearingen from the meeting.
Make a motion to excuse the mayor.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. The mayor is excused. Okay, we will now officially open the opening of the public hearing. The public hearing, the purpose of the hearing is to receive comments on two optional draft proposals to amend Chapter 19 zoning as follows. This has to deal with container housing. Option one, prohibit container homes by one, amending Section 19.1 definitions for building, adding a definition for container, and three, amending Section 19-79.5 to add the use of containers as buildings to the list of prohibited uses. Option number two is to regulate container homes by one, amending Section 19.19-1 definitions for building, two, adding a definition for container, three, adding a definition for dwelling container, four, removing Section 19-78, five, amending Section 19-79.5 to add containers as buildings for any use other than as container dwellings to the list of prohibited uses, and six, amending Section 19-177 to insert container dwellings as item three to permit container dwellings in the RA2T district. The notice for this public hearing was posted at Town Hall and on the town's website on April 25th, 2016, and was published in the Island Gazette on May 4th and 11th, 2016. We have two individuals signed up for public comments. Mr. Ellen.
Good evening, Mr. Blazinski and the distinguished commissioner of your town council. And to the public here, the good residents of Currie Beach. My name is John Ellen. I live in Sea-Watch, on Sea-Watch Way. Let me also introduce Mr. James Eldridge. He is the attorney for the Planning and Zoning Commission, which I am a member and current chair of. I was signed up first, tried to get here early and do that so that I could kind of bring everybody to a common understanding of this container home issue. First, I want to give a shout out to Mr. Willard Kilo on his article in the paper last week. It was outstanding. It captured all the nuances of this issue. The fact where some have been built before on the island of the Carolina Beach, quotes by some of the commissioners and the mayor. I thought it did a very good job of laying out this issue. You may have got a chance to read that. I hope you did. If you didn't, maybe I can speak a little bit. The planning and zoning, and you see the two options here if you picked up one of the agendas. Planning and zoning took this issue on several months ago. And we also advertised an opportunity for the public to come and address the Planning and Zoning Commission. We had 16 people address QT. 15 spoke against having container homes in the town of Cherry Beach to completely prohibit it. And one individual asked some questions about it, but did not express her views as either for containers or against containers. She just had some questions regarding the condition. The P&Z voted 4-1 to prohibit container homes. And we brought this option one to the council a couple of months ago. They suggested that P&Z return and come up with the wording for option two. In other words, you would allow container homes in the district that's coded where we currently have trailers in Cherry Beach. So with that, I just wanted to give you the background and a little perspective on that. P&Z has already voted to not do it. Council asked us to have a second option. Those are the two that some of you people might want to also comment on. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Mr. Joe Cohen.
Make it easier for you guys. This goes on to.
Address is?
It's on the bottom of the letter I'm handing out, but I'll say it again. Joe Cohen, 429 Sandman Drive. And since I'm older than John, I'm not able to do this as extemporaneously anymore, so I've got to read it. I might be. You got more hair than I do, though.
Hey, watch out.
it's going to be pretty obvious that I'm against the shipping containers as houses. Anything else? Fine. This is the first time I've been here before this elected group since Betty Medlin was mayor. I thought she did a fantastic job running this town at that time. And I haven't had occasion to come here. Things in Carolina Beach, though, seem to have taken a major change recently. And the recent gun issue and now the container issue have highlighted those changes. I'm here to comment on the printed quote, because we don't have affordable housing. I'd like to know who's defining affordable. We also seem to be a beach community for, quote, fairly wealthy people, end quote, in spite of the fact that we still have a lot of very small beach cottages with no air conditioning or with window air conditioning. I'd like to know who's defining fairly wealthy people. We live on an island along the Atlantic Ocean with a great beach and great weather, lodging, shops, attractions, and a wonderful culture with little crime. Not very many people have those conditions in the entire United States. We or someone in our family work very hard in school and or at work to afford buying valuable property Perry Beach will continue to be special, and in some cases, not all, pricey, until we're hit with a level 5 container. It'd be interesting to see if those containers fly or they crush other houses. I don't want to see it, personally. I don't want to live near one. Just because Carolina Beach, a town with more crime, free food, lots of bars, and more low-cost housing, elects to put up with two, just two, container houses, why do we have to follow their lead? Perry is primarily a residential town. You want to drastically change that? Remember what your mom told you when you went to school? You're known by the company you keep? Or in our case, the people we surround ourselves with will either raise or lower our standards. There are lousy and fancy container houses. I'll admit that. The fancy ones are in California, Naples, Florida, and some other very pricey places in this country. And I mean very pricey. I am not putting down Carolina Beach by my previous comments. I have a business there and I'm proud of it. I'm saying Curie is unique in its peace and quiet and its residential nature with just enough businesses to draw families. Are we trying to support the entrance of public housing eventually where more of our kindness and money will lessen our tax money for infrastructure, for parks, for beach renourishment, for police and fire support slash prevention, for being a place where we all join together to hope our children will live here? Shipping containers are for transporting goods by ship, not for housing. Calling it affordable housing is like putting lipstick on a pig. It's still a shipping container. Let's not decrease our property values, our reputation, our tourism, the incomes of our inns, motels, and some places are called hotels, efficiencies, apartments, condos, and all that make up the character of Perry Beach. The optics and the actuality of shipping container housing at rents of $125 a night, like the one in Carolina Beach, is not good for Perry or for the lodging owners in town. We might also, there might be a reason, it should be, not me. A reason that Carolina Beach hasn't had one mobile home permitted since 2009. Maybe it has something to do with 11 criteria mobile homes have to meet. Maybe it's the cost of land now. Maybe it's the fact that current owners want to preserve the character and integrity of their neighborhoods and the town itself. Are we being known for shipping, containers better? Curie's P&Z voted to prohibit shipping containers 4-1, and I congratulate them for that. Apparently, they weren't impressed with Starbucks using them. Listen to them before we approve shipping container housing, whose sizes range from 4 feet to 48 feet long. They'll eventually eat up RA2T land and eventually request expansion with possible help from activists. Seen a lot of that recently. Do we really want to invite that monster to our beach? I think not. Please vote against shipping containers. Thank you, folks.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Carr.
Go out of business, so take care.
Okay, thank you. Those were the only two individuals who had signed up to speak. Is there anyone here who would like to speak? Yes, sir. Your name and your address, please.
Thank you. My name is Bill Bernath. I live at 1717 Mackerel Lane, also known as Mackerel Speedway. I'm here to express my dismay that we even consider having container homes in the RQT area. I live in it. And over the past 16 years, we have transformed our little section of the RQT from having single wides and modulars in And since 2004, we've reintroduced 9 single-family homes with values anywhere from $300,000 to $500,000, and one duplex, which I believe was listed somewhere around that $290,000 per side. So we've essentially changed the character of our little section of RGT. And this is totally selfish. However, what I'd like to do is just cite one of the sections from your 2006 land use policy, and I hope that you proceed with this in mind. It's Part 2, Section 2, Policies for Growth and Development, Section 25B. It is Kirby Beach policy that development activity, which would be harmful to property values and the quality of life of those residents already established, is discouraged. Compatibility of proposed development with future land use map, blah, 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 is required. I only ask that you please take that under consideration when you do make your decisions. We've changed the nature of that neighborhood, and we'd like to maintain that character.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? No?
Nancy, I have two letters. Sister,
oh, that's
letters.
Right. Nancy, you have two letters. Thank you, Dave.
Yes, sir.
All right. We received two letters. One is from Pat Triplett of 102 Newark Court. Dear Mayor Swearingen and town leaders, I am absolutely against container homes. Research shows the shipping containers have high levels of chemical residues such as chromate, phosphorus, and lead-based paint, and the wood floors that line the majority of shipping containers are infused with hazardous chemical pesticides like arsenic and chromium to keep pests away. To correct these harmful problems, the average container eventually produces nearly 1,000 pounds of hazardous waste before it can be used as a structure. Another downside is that dimensionally, an individual container creates awkward living working spaces. Taking into account added insulation, needed steel construction, containers become long, narrow boxes with less than 8-foot ceilings. Not a home that I look forward to see in our beautiful community. The most important issue is our community. Individuals did not purchase expensive homes to live beside or near a container park. Thank goodness for HOAs. If neighborhoods have high expectations of residences, why do our governing individuals want to cheapen our community? Citizens moved to Curie Beach, as I did, because of the well-regulated HOAs, the small town feel without large beach hotels, shopping malls, low-income housing, and strips with tourist attractions. Curie Beach is a treasure. Let's keep it that way. Curie Beach has so many issues that need to be addressed. Shipping container construction should not be allowed. Let's address issues such as the many issues discussed in the planning meeting held recently. If my opinion matters to my elected officials, I support option 1, which is prohibit. Thank you for your time. And the second email is from Mario and Judy Paparozzi. Mayor Swearingen, Mayor Pro Tem, and Commissioners. We reside at 105 Seaward Court. We heard in the news this morning that our town will have a discussion about how to best handle the container home issue. I am writing to urge that container homes be prohibited. It is our opinion that container homes will radically change the character of the community for the worse. For those of us who want to make Curie Beach our home for the long term, things like container homes simply work against that dream. We urge the township to consider that some of the most desirable beach communities would not permit things like container homes within their jurisdictions. The reasons are obvious to me. We hope that they are to the township. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Anyone else? Anyone to talk in favor? Okay, that will close the public hearing. Thank you all very much.
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Oh, thank you.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, closed. Okay. Let's move on to awards and recognition. First, Mr. Gonzalez, would you please come front and center? Let the people in this room take a look at you.
Chairman's office. I have here a certificate of appreciation. It says, presented to Tony Gonzalez for his dedicated and selfless service as a volunteer fireman and chairman of the Curry Beach Shoreline Access Beach Protection and Parking Committee, May 17, 2016. I would hope this finds a place in your new study.
Oh, yes.
And I would tell you that there are a lot of things you did for Curry Beach over the years. Things that many people in this room appreciate tremendously. You'll be a contributing member that is missed.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Is Denise Fredrickson, please? I have here a certificate of appreciation presented to Denise Fredrickson for the advice, the design, the labor, and the maintenance she provided for the Curry Beach Town Hall and the Community Center gardens. The gardens that we have here and the gardens that we have down at the Community Center, we owe a debt of gratitude to Denise for the work she has done, and she continues to do to keep up the beauty of our area. We greatly appreciate it, and thank you very much. And the last certificate is going to be presented to Ia Ruth for the Wilmington Regional Association of Realtors.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Is thank there you. Someone else who's coming?
No.
Okay.
We're just getting pictures. Documentation.
This certificate of appreciation says it is presented to the Wilmington Regional Association of Realtors for their support and hard work in improving the grounds of the Curry Beach Community Center with beautiful new landscaping and a new flagpole. The Realtors Association picked the plants, purchased the plants, dug up the ground, put in the plants, bought a new flagpole, and paid to have it installed. What a fantastic contribution from our area realtors, and we are greatly, greatly appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We can move to the approval of the consent agenda.
Make a motion we approve as presented.
Is that second. A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the consent agenda is approved as shown. We'll move to the adoption of the agenda. Any revisions to the agenda?
Mayor Pro Tem, I'd like to add a closed session as per North Carolina General Statute 143-318 to consult with the attorney.
Okay.
Put that at the end of the meeting.
Closed session at the end of the meeting. Okay. Any other new ads? I have one ad for new business, parking lot lease downtown. And that'll be item number 5.
Yes.
Anything else to add? Okay, may I have a motion to accept the agenda as modified?
Motion to accept the agenda as modified.
Second.
Sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we'll proceed with the agenda as modified. Discussion and consideration of presentation to council. Is Mr. Kramer here? Okay. Now, okay, Mr. Kramer, I just wanted to make sure that you're present. We're going to go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're in the right place. That's right.
Abe Walston. Okay, you're here instead of Mr. Kramer. Okay. What we have is a proclamation for the town that I will read. Town Council, Town of Curry Beach, North Carolina, Proclamation P16-01, in support of National Safe Boating Week.
Whereas National Safe Boating Week is May 21st through the 27th, 2016, and there are 300,000 registered boats in North Carolina. And whereas North Carolina has 5,000 miles of water shoreline for boating and fishing, with boating being one of the state's most popular activities, and whereas drowning is reported a cause of death in 75% of boating accidents, with 10.6% of those accidents occurring last year alone. And whereas there were 26 boating deaths last year in North Carolina, making it fifth in the nation for boating deaths. And whereas a significant number of boaters who lose their lives by drowning each year would be alive today had they worn their life jackets. And whereas it is both desirable and necessary to remind all boaters of their responsibilities and the constant need for safe boating practices. Now therefore be it proclaimed that Curry Beach Town Council hereby supports the national campaign of the Safe Boating Council to promote National Safe Boating Week, and also supports the Cape Fear Sail and Power Squadron, which is a major provider of boating safety and training in our area. Proclaimed the 17th day of May 2016 and signed by our mayor. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Okay. We have one individual to address council for our standard meeting. And that would be Mr. Don Harris.
Thank you, Council. I just want to come before you to find out if there is any update or any progress on my request of 2 months ago about motorized vehicles for handicapped persons to fish on the beach.
Yes, sir. There's been, I've done a bunch of research and made calls to Raleigh and everything. And a week ago, we turned it over to one of our attorneys to do some legal research. And he's going to be reporting on that, the results of that, at the end of the meeting.
Legal research, am I to take it then that you're researching legal advice due to the fact that the ADA or the VA or such groups may get involved in this request?
No, sir. We don't want to make any decision, yes or no, without knowing the full legal ramifications of making a choice of yes or no.
Okay, I only have 3 minutes, but I have a couple questions. If you're asking for legal advice, is it due to liability of a motorized vehicle on the beach? What is your liability if a fisherman goes to cast a line and hooks somebody in the eye? I mean, it would be the same liability. I think what I'm trying to say to this group, pardon me, is that if you spend as much time trying to stop this request, as if you spend as much time trying to help it as you do stopping it, we could get somewhere. This has been 3 months now since I first wrote my first letter. And I think you're doing everything you can to deny this. This is my personal opinion. We have had discussions about this. And again, I just don't think it's right. I thank you for your time. I'm going to sit back down and enjoy the rest of the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Okay. Discussion and consideration of committee business. Board of Adjustment. Community Center Committee. Marketing Committee. Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. Planning and Zoning Commission. Thank you, John. Shoreline Access. Beach Protection and Parking Committee. Non-town committee reports. meaning any of our representatives to county type appointments. Is there any input? Okay. No committee business for this month. We'll now move to discussion and consideration of department head business. First, Ms. Avery. Nancy?
Thank you. I'm requesting council schedule a special meeting at Town Hall on Tuesday, June 21st at 2 p.m. This precedes your regular council meeting. The purpose is to hold a closed session to perform department head evaluations. So I'm requesting a motion to that effect.
Do I hear a motion?
So move.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. I'm also requesting a motion to hold a special meeting at Town Hall on Thursday, June 9th at 6:45 p.m. Well, immediately after the public hearing that's already scheduled on the budget at 9 to 6:30. Again, this is for a purpose of holding a closed session to discuss personnel matters and also an open session to review proposed amendments to personnel policy regarding compensation plan and salary plan changes that we spoke about in the regular session.
I make a motion to schedule as requested.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Both will be scheduled.
You're going to send out calendar requests, right? Thank you. Help me out.
Finance Department. Mr. Copenhagen.
Thanks, Eric. Hopefully, I make it through this. I've been battling with a cold for the last, I don't know how many days.
Okay.
What I wanted to do is present to Town Council the fiscal year 2017 Three Beach budget. What you have in your agenda packet is a budget. It's three really components of this: a budget message, a draft budget ordinance, and the draft fee schedule. So what I have on the screen kind of summarizes a lot of what you have in your agenda packet. So what I wanted to start with is just some of the necessities, I guess, to kind of explain some of the general statutes and our compliance with those. So just to let you know, this budget proposal is in accordance with the North Carolina General Statute Section 15911. It's also in conformance with all sections of the Local Government Budget and Fiscal Control Act. As required by General Statute Section 15912, public hearing must be held prior to budget adoption. So that public hearing is scheduled for Thursday, June 9th at 6:30. Once this budget is presented tonight and the proposal, I hate to use the word accepted, this is not to approving it, but the proposal accepted at this point, it'll be made available for public inspection, both on the town website and with hard copy here at the town hall. And then finally, we have to have a balanced budget or an interim budget adopted before July 1st, 2016, to start fiscal year 2017. So as a little too fast here.
Let's start over.
And that's the end. So as I said, there's really three components to the budget proposal. The budget message, which summarizes the budget, gives the key highlights, identifies the significant differences between what's being proposed and the current year budget. The draft budget ordinance that contains all the budgeted revenue and expenditures by fund, gives some information regarding property taxes, salaries, any changes to the fee schedule, and some other statutory requirements. And then finally, the third part is the draft fee schedule, which is includes all the fees charged for services that the town provides. Also, in addition to these things, there is a detailed line item budget for every single department. So if anyone would be interested in looking at that, that would also be available for anyone to look at. The budget proposal we're going to go through is really put together based on the annual retreat, town council retreat that was held in February, and then also the budget work sessions that were held during the month of April. And it also supports the goals the council had established at the retreat that was held in February. So I thought I'd just very quickly just run through those goals. One being the resolution of outstanding issues relating to the Sandman property. Two, over the next 2 years, resolve the stormwater issues that were identified during the February council retreat. The third one is before the end of fiscal year 2018, develop plans, obtain financing, and construct a new fire station, and perform improvements to other town facilities. Number four was maintain the current tax rate, if possible. Five is to work with New Hanover County, Carolina Beach, and Wrightsville Beach to develop a long-term coastal storm damage reduction funding plan. Long way of saying funding for beach nourishment. Number six is to monitor potential revenue shortfalls that may occur in future years. Seven is to complete the Town of Cary Beach Comprehensive Plan by February 2017. And the last one is to address public safety staffing during the fiscal year, or what we're here for today, 2017 budget process. So what I'll put up next is, this kind of summarizes at a very high level the proposed budget. And what I have here is in relation to the budget that was approved for this current fiscal year. The town has seven funds that serve a variety of different purposes. As you see, the largest fund is a general fund. And rather than read off every amount, the budget that's being proposed for that is about $4.5 million. The water and sewer fund is about $2.2 million. The stormwater fund is $690,000. The Powellville fund is $65,000. Beach Protection Fund, a little over $50,000. Federal Asset Forfeiture Fund, of $50,000. And the Sewer Expansion Reserve Fund, at $180,000. We're going to go through each one of these in more detail, but that's just kind of gets up there. And you see that overall, it's a increase of about $1.1 million over the current budget. And as we go through each fund, we'll kind of understand why that's happening, I guess, and what the reasons are. So what I'll do is start with the general fund, and I've just put up some overall highlights, I guess what I'll say, for the fund. And with these highlights, we'll then go into more detail on that. But the first item is a proposed tax increase of 2.35 cents, which is about a 9%. That would make, if approved, that would make our new tax rate 28.5 cents per $100 of valuation. For the general fund, there are no other general fund fee increases included. This budget proposal does include adding five full-time employees, four in the fire department and one in the police department. The budget also includes a 2% cost of living adjustment and a 2% merit increase pool for employees. It also includes capital expenditures of $320,000. Also a transfer of $50,000 to the Beach Protection Fund. Number seven, excuse me, contingency of $52,880. And finally, to say that the overall 2017 general fund budget is 11.7% higher than the 2016 budget. And as I said, we'll go into the details of that. That kind of gives that the highlights for the general fund. So what I thought I'd start with for the general fund is kind of look at what's our revenue that's budgeted for 2017. And I'll focus more on the top three items, with property taxes being 52%, sales tax 18%, and garbage and recycling fees at 8%. So those three items are over 77% of the general fund revenue, and they total just about $3.5 million for those three items. With property taxes, I'll say that definitely is the town's largest revenue source. The amount you see on there budgeted for fiscal year 2017 is a little over $2.3 million. That includes collections for the current tax year, plus if there's any payments from prior years where people are paying late for anything. But the bulk of it is the current year tax levy. That estimate is based on an estimated tax base that we get from New Hanover County Tax Department. And that number was $834,370,000 is the value of property in Cary Beach. That's about a $15 million increase over the tax base that was provided by the tax department last year. Also included in the calculation of the revenue is the collection rate. And what we use is, based on history, is about 98.75% collection rate for the property taxes. And as I mentioned before, that number also includes the 2.35 cent property tax increase. And it'll become a little clearer, I guess, as we go through the actual expenses for this fund, why that increase is necessary. And also, in just a minute, I'll kind of show an example, I guess, of what that increase will look like for a property here in Cary Beach. Most of the other items, I think, are pretty self-explanatory. That are listed there. And again, I hit kind of the top three. I'll just say that things that you see a category called like other revenue, and the major components there are sales tax refund, ABC revenue, motor vehicle tax, and the beer and wine tax. Those four items make up about 96% of that number. So that's where the bulk, but there's a lot of other smaller things in there too. But, and then you'll see at the bottom of the list there is something called other financing sources. That is installment loans for capital expenditures that we do throughout the year. I mentioned in the highlights that we had about $320,000 of capital expenditures planned. The bulk of those, $290,000, would be financed with a bank
Harlan, on the sales tax, what did you use for the increase since New Hanover County's in the news about messing theirs up?
Yeah, I used, for this current year that we're in right now, I think I used 3%. They used 7%. And for this upcoming year, I used about 1% increase, so I kept it very conservative, I guess.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
I mean, some of the statewide estimates are a little bit higher than that, but not by a lot.
Well, so, I mean, historically, how did they come up with 7% anyway, is what I was understanding. Okay.
Yeah, I'm really not sure.
I just wanted to see we were in line. We're good. Thanks.
That was a number that was higher, a percentage increase than I've seen anywhere. So.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
So what I had here was just, like I said, I'd show an example of the property tax increase. So this would be for a property valued at $350,000. So you see the top line is our current rate of 26.15 cents. So the tax would be $915.25. The increase of 2.35 cents is going to add on an annual basis $82.25. And if you want to put that on a monthly basis, that's about $6.85 a month. So the total tax based on a property of $350,000 would now be $997.50.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
When was the last time we had the tax increase?
That's a good question. It was about 4 years ago, I think fiscal year 2013. So we've been through four budget cycles without any type of tax.
What percent was that? Since this is
I know it was about 2 cents. I don't remember what the actual percentage was, though. So what I wanted to show next was just some comparative information for the general fund revenue. And what this shows is that it's comparing in green is the budget we're talking about now for fiscal year 2017. The blue is the actual numbers from fiscal year 2015, and the red is an estimate for this current year that we're in right now. And what this shows is the percentage of revenue in the general fund for these different sources. And I guess what it really shows is consistency. You know, you don't really see anything out of line here. The biggest fluctuation is probably in other financing sources, and as I mentioned before, there are installment loans for banks. And in 2015, we had more capital expenditures that we financed, so that's why that number is higher. So next, I wanted to move on to the general fund expenses, unless anybody has any questions on revenue. So here shows the breakdown for 2017 of the general fund expenses. And here also, I'll just kind of summarize maybe the top five departments, being the police department at 28% of the budget, streets and sanitation at 22%, the fire department at 15%, administration at 9%, and then debt service, which is our payment of loans, at 7%. So those five departments are almost $3.7 million out of the approximately $4.5 million budget. You also see a category on there, other. Just the main components there are tax collection fees that we pay to New Hanover County, and the also included in there is the operating expenses for the community center. So in regard to expenses, I thought maybe I'd just expand on a couple things, because this really ties back to the proposed property tax increase. So the first being, as I mentioned, the addition of five new employees for the town, four in the fire department and one in the police department. For the fire department, the needs arising because of a couple things, one being shrinking base of volunteers, the training and time commitments of existing volunteers, the need to handle multiple calls with the appropriately trained personnel, and then really the desire to maintain our ISO rating, which for all of us that live here, that results in a substantially lower homeowner's insurance rate. And the actual cost for the fire department, including the salaries and the related benefits and social security taxes, is approximately $180,000. For the police department, the needs really arising due to increased tourism and also the increase in the number of people that are living here full time. And the estimated cost of the police department is about $59,600. The other thing you'll see on here that I just wanted to point out is that the top item on the list is governing body, which is really the town council. They typically include some payments to outside organizations. There's a whole application process, and the applications are reviewed. This year's budget includes $8,800 to the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce for the concert series, $2,000 to the Katie B. Hines Senior Center, $1,500 to the Help Center of Federal Point, $1,500 to the Federal Point Historic Preservation Society, $1,500 to the Friends of Fort Fisher, and $1,200 to the Island of Lights. So what that totals up to $16,500 that's been proposed to fund to outside agencies. In addition, in the county council budget is $1,750 for Carolina Beach Inlet maintenance dredging that's requested, I guess, through the county, I believe. So mm-hmm. that becomes our share. So that's also included in the town council budget. I'll just highlight the debt service, which is, again, loan payments for general fund capital expenditures, is a little over $316,000 for the year, and that's existing loans on the Oceanfront Park, downtown improvement project, vacant land, vehicles and equipment. And that's about 7% of the general fund budget. We talked about capital expenditures being around $320,000 for this year, which is a fairly significant increase from the current fiscal year. It's about 165% increase. It's really driven by equipment in the fire department of about $30,000, replacement of two police vehicles of $70,000, replacement of a garbage truck at $185,000, and then replacement of a service truck for Public Works at about $35,000. So, as you hear, the big chunk driving that number is the replacement of the garbage truck, with a very expensive acquisition that we need to make. I'd also mentioned that there was a $50,000 transfer to the Beach Protection Fund. I'll talk about that fund just a little bit later. And then the general fund contingency of $52,880, that's just a little bit over 1% of the budget. But what that's for is really for unanticipated increase in budgetary needs during the course of the year. And according to state statute, we could have as much as 5% of our budget in the year. This year we grew along with, like I said, just a little bit of over 1%. And then I just wanted to finally say that the portion of this budget that relates to operating expenses, and when I say that, I'm looking at our expenses excluding like the capital expenditures, debt service, contingency, and transfer to the beach protection, has increased by about 9.5%. But I'll also add to that, if you remove the 5 additional employees and kind of put it to apples in relation to this current year, the operating expenses are really only up 2.5%, which is very reasonable amount. So just as I did with the general fund revenue, I thought I'd do the same thing for the expenses and kind of show by the different departments we just talked about the actual amounts for 2015, the estimated for this current fiscal year, and the budget for 2017. And this is the percent of the total budget that each of these departments makes up. And you do see a little more fluctuation in this than you did in the revenue, but it really relates to the amount of capital expenditures in any given year. So that's really the driving force. You know, if you look at admin, which is the third one from the left, there was some purchase of some land in 2015 that was charged to that department. So that's why that one looks kind of aligned with the other 2 years. And then the other increase you see is in the fire department being proposed for 2017, and that's in relation to the 4 additional employees that we previously discussed. So before we go to water and sewer, are there any other questions on the general fund? Okay, so the water and sewer fund, kind of go through the same thing and just kind of give some overall highlights and then go into some of the things in a little more detail. This budget does include a proposed change to the residential water and sewer rate structure. And what that is adding a new rate tier for when uses exceed 7,000 gallons in a month. And I'll go through all that in just a minute. Also includes $205,000 for infrastructure projects, capital projects, and $116,500 for equipment purchases. Includes debt service or loan payments of $131,613. It also includes $50,000 transfer to a water and sewer capital project fund. H Avenue lift station, which is our main lift station, needs to be replaced. The $50,000 will be just a start to that project. It's estimated to cost at least $500,000. And then I'll just say that overall, the 2017 budget is 17.7% higher than the 2016 budget. So what I thought I'd do was just kind of take the similar approach and kind of start with revenue. And what you see, as you would expect, I guess, in this fund, is that if you look at the water charges and sewer charges, they're 86% of revenue, you know, exactly the way it should be. And in a minute, we'll kind of talk about why those are those amounts, and I'll relate that back to that the first item on the highlights, which was the proposed change in the rate structure. The other thing you'll notice on here that's a little different is a transfer from, it says SERF, that's our Sewer Expansion Reserve Fund, and set up for capital projects, I guess, related to sewer, and there's going to be a project performed. It's a sewer bypass, which is hopefully should in the end save us some money on other expenses. But really this change, shift some of the flow from going to the treatment facility in Carolina Beach into our own treatment room. And the other item, other financing, is as we talked about with the general fund, that's installment loans for capital purchases. So thought we would take a closer look at the water and sewer charges, and in particular, the rate change that I discussed for residential customers. First, kind of wanted to explain why that's necessary. This fund, the water and sewer fund, is considered an enterprise fund, which means it has to operate like a business. It has to be self-sustaining. So the revenues generated from the fund not only have to cover the day-to-day operating expenses, they have to build reserves for future infrastructure projects. So that's part of what we're trying to accomplish here, making sure that sufficient reserves are being built as projects become necessary. So what we did, we looked at usage levels by residential customers at various levels. And I'll put this up and kind of try to walk through it and explain it. It's a little confusing, but what we really wanted to do was try to increase the financial responsibility for those customers who use the most water and sewer resources. You know, kind of, it makes sense. To do that, we looked at usage over a one-year period from April of 2015 to March of 2016 at three different levels. Customers using 5,000, over 5,000, customers using over 7,000, and customers using over 10,000 gallons in a month. So the table under item three kind of summarizes what we came up with, and to put that into into a little context, over that 12-month period, there were actually about 22,800 billings, which averages out to about 1,900 residential accounts per month that are billed. So what this is showing us, if you look in the 5,000-gallon column, that's showing us out of that 22,800 accounts billed in a year, 5,429 of them used over 5,000 gallons in a month. So that was about just about 24% of the accounts. Those 24% used 64.4 million gallons, which was a little over 68% of the usage by residential customers. And it kind of follows along, did the same thing at the 7,000-gallon level, and that one becomes the most important because that's really the proposal that's here is to use the 7,000 gallons as the point where we add an additional rate tier to the rate structure. So at 7,000 gallons, you have 3,505 accounts, which is about a little over 15% of the accounts billed for the year. They used 53 million gallons, which is 56.2% of the usage. And 10,000, I won't run through that, but that, you know, the same type of approach. So what we want to focus on is the 7,000 gallons. So what I have here, this just takes that 7,000 gallons, and the red line and on that 12-month period that I looked at, the red line being the percentage of gallons used, the blue line being the percentage of accounts, and it looks exactly the way we would expect. That when you look at the summer months, significant spike. So if you look at the time frame of, let's say, July and August, well, with this proposed increase in July and August, well, it could impact 35% of the residential accounts. But those 35% of the accounts are usually, on average, about 75% of the water. So when you average it out for the whole year, it's about 15% of the accounts and about 56% of the water. So it's kind of interesting. You expect it to go that way, but it's to actually see it makes sense. So then I'll move on to the next part, which is, okay, if we set a new tier when usage exceeds 7,000 gallons, what does that mean? Well, the rate that's being proposed is for water, 67.5 cents. For the amount that's over per 100 gallons, for the amount that's over $7,000, and for sewer, 87 cents per 100 gallons for the amount over 7,000 gallons. And the one thing I want to just make sure everybody understands, if you use less than 7,000 gallons in a month, it's not going to impact you at all.
We should get credit for using less.
Well, I don't know if we'll go that far. So what I did, I just put a couple of really quick examples up here. And so if somebody uses 7,000, as I said, no increase. It's exactly, you pay exactly what you'd be paying right now. At 9,000 gallons of usage, well, you would see an increase in your bill of $10.30, or just about 10% increase. If you use 12,000 gallons, well, now you're going to see a $25.75 increase, which is about 19%. And I know 15,000 gallons sounds like a lot, but we have a lot of people that use that. They would, you know, at that level, you would see a $41.20 increase for the month, of just about 25% increase. So it definitely shifts more of the burden to the customers using the system the most. It also encourages conservation, which is kind of a benefit to this also. It's something that the town wants to do, and water systems across the country try to do, is to promote conservation of water. So I don't know if anybody has any questions on that. And next, what I wanted to do was just similar to what I did in the general fund, was just show how things stack up over a three-year period. And as you see, like water and sewer, you see continual increase. And that really is that in this current year, we had a rate change that affected all accounts, residential, commercial, and our jurisdiction. So that's why you see an increase, the red line for water and sewer, and then the green, which is the 2017 proposed budget, is because of the additional rate change that we just discussed.
Well, and there was some increased usage as well this year, we think.
Yes.
Year to date it's higher. So there is increased usage, and that's part of why this fee structure is being implemented by the council.
Correct.
It's because we see continued pressure on the system that's going up on both the sewer and water side. And I think it's important for the citizens to understand that the council's responding to that, because if we can't get people to control usage a little bit, we will have to make large capital investments in the 4 to 5 year range. And we don't really want to do that when I think you could control. The other thing the council talked about a lot on this one is that those heavy users, for many of our services, this is one example of it, are the high occupancy rentals, right? So that's a big part of that, and this is a way of getting at that. We looked at, can we classify short-term rentals as a business, and it doesn't look like legally we can do that the way the legislature is, but we can definitely do this with our fee structures. And so that's why council is supportive of this, and I think it's a great move and a great option that Arlen brought up to us. So, good job.
Did this new fee structure impact the businesses?
Not on the commercial side. They already have they already pay twice the rate.
Well, it's not quite twice.
Not quite twice. There is a commercial rate that's higher than the residential rate, and it's been in place. And we would have used that on short-term rentals if we could have. But instead, we did this instead.
And there's also a rate on top of that for out of jurisdiction, so for Fisher Recreation Area.
Right. Exactly right.
So what I'd like to do now is, says where the money comes from for the water and sewer fund. So this is the how the money is spent. So this is the expense budget for the water and sewer fund. And this, again, kind of looks exactly the way it should, that operations, so running the system, is 77% of the budget. And then some of the other expenses are administration at 11%, finance at 8%, legal and council at 1%, and then there's the transfer to the capital projects that we discussed earlier. this expense, I'd just like to make a couple comments. One, that operating the expenses, as I said before, for the general fund, they were really only up 2.5%. Operating expenses here are up 15%. And there's really two main reasons. One being is that there needs to be a major maintenance performed on the treatment lagoon. It needs to be cleaned out. Very expensive process, estimated at about $125,000. So that's included in here. And then also we're paying an increased rate to Carolyn Beach for the use of their treatment facility. So that goes back to that project that we talked about with the sewer bypass. It's completed, hopefully we'll be able to reduce some of those costs. The debt service in this fund is about a little over $131,000, which is about 6% of the budget. And includes the loan payments on things like infrastructure and equipment and vehicles. And the capital expenditures plan are about $116,500 for equipment and $205,000 for infrastructure projects. So this, again, shows the comparison. Nothing really out of line here. You'll notice that in 2016, which is this current year, finance and administration were separated into two departments. The other thing you see is the increase in operations, and again, that's for fiscal year 2017. That really is what we just talked about with the maintenance costs for the lagoon and the treatment facility costs to Carolina Beach. So with that, I don't know if anyone has any questions on water and sewer. Move on to the stormwater fund. For this one, the highlights, no proposed changes to the stormwater fees. The debt service in this fund is about $88,700. As part of the budget, there is a planned $400,000 transfer to a stormwater capital project fund for a project in the Curie Beach Village area. That project is in total estimated to cost about $650,000. And that overall, this budget is almost 32% higher than the current year. And again, it really relates to the item about the transfer to the capital project fund.
Questions? What about
Curie
Beach Village? What's happening there?
A lot of the stormwater system, I don't know what the best way to put it is.
We monitor the stormwater system with cameras. We've known we've had a problem in a large portion of Curie Beach Village for a couple of years, and we're now addressing that. There's a number of smaller projects happening around town as well that were identified in February. But
was
this,
that when they were doing all that stuff in the storm drain
yes.
thing?
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, it's just that the system's been there a long time, even though I think the department does a good job maintaining it. Now it's collapsing enough that it requires a significant capital investment. And you'll probably see that just like you've seen water pipe, you know, water replacement projects every 4 or 5 years, a big one. The public works plan is to basically group enough work together to have a big project and let money build up to pay for that so we don't go in debt for it. And this is time for that one.
So when we look at the stormwater fund revenue, 22% of it is coming from the stormwater fees, so what you get on your monthly, including the water and sewer, you have a stormwater fee. Stormwater building fees, which is really dependent on the amount of building activity within the town. The next biggest thing is there's also other financing, which is the installment loans for equipment purchases within the stormwater fund. And then the biggest item, the purple area, is the fund balance appropriation. So that's as we were just talking about. We build up some reserves for capital projects. That's taking some of that money and actually now applying it to a project that's being performed. And this just shows the consistency of revenue in this in the stormwater fund. If you look at stormwater fees, almost identical across the 3 years. Building fees, again, can vary based on building activity. And the last item, the appropriation of fund balance, again, is in relation to the project that's planned to be done.
Well, it keeps messing when you don't. You went all the way through.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that. Every time I get.
Might just have to stand by it and hit the button.
Yeah, but right now it doesn't want to move at all, so.
Do you have the arrow key that you on there?
Yeah, there
just
it is.
Just push that arrow and it should advance to the next slide or even right. Enter.
Do you want me to stand there and hit it?
Oh, that's okay.
Okay.
Technical difficulty. We covered the revenue for the stormwater fund. So the expenses, about 20% goes to operations. 13% to debt service, 9% to capital outlay, and 58% will be to the transfer to the capital project fund. So this just shows expenses, again, for comparative purposes. Again, very similar. You see maybe some step-ups in operations, but that's just because the amount of work related to stormwater has increased over the last couple of years. So I'm not sure if anyone has any questions on the stormwater fund. So this summarizes the four remaining funds, and we'll kind of run through these quickly. These are really the smaller funds. First is the Powell Fund. And what that is, it's really funded by an allocation from the Department of Transportation. It's restricted to only be used for street-related repairs, maintenance, construction, but that includes things like gutters and sidewalks also. Not be used in relation to parking at all, just street-related and not state-owned roads, so not like 421 or that road. So that's budgeted at about $65,000. That's the estimate for what we'll get from the state. And there's another $50 of interest on fund investments. Next is the Beach Protection Fund. That fund was set up back in 2014. It will serve as a potential source for future beach nourishment needs if they become necessary, if there's not federal and state funding. But it also can serve other purposes. We've designed it so it could be used for beach access repairs or dune maintenance or dune plantings, anything really beach related. So the budget for that is $50,440, and it's being funded primarily by a transfer from the general fund of $50,000. And then the remaining amount is interest on fund investments. And I'll just say that since 2014, when this fund was set up, there's been about $249,000 that have been transferred to this fund. Next is the Federal Asset Forfeiture Fund. This really relates to as-needed basis, when the police department participates in investigations with federal agencies. Based on the outcome of the investigations and the amount of resources that we provide, the town may share in forfeited assets. But the important thing here is that this is also restricted money, can only be used for police-related expenditures, and it cannot be used for part of their operating budget. It has to be things outside of their operating budget. So for this, for 2017, just we're estimating that about $50,000 would be used, and that $50,000 is really part of the existing fund balance that we have. And again, it's really under the direction of the police chief on how those funds are used. But there's reporting that has to be done to the federal government and on the use of those funds. Next is the Sewer Expansion Reserve Fund, or SERF as we call it. And that's really the purpose of that is for future expansion, improvements, construction, repairs to the sewer system. Its primary revenue source is user fees of $2,500 on new construction. reason it's as much as it is, $180,000, is because that there's going to be transfer from this fund to the water and sewer fund to do that sewer bypass project that we discussed a little while ago. So that kind of sums up the last fund. I don't know if anybody has any question on any of those four. So then I guess I'd like to say, you know, I just wanted to thank everybody that was involved in the preparation of the budget, all the department heads. Everybody's been, as usual, very helpful in the process going smooth as possible. And I guess, again, I'll throw it out if there's any remaining questions that anybody has on any part of the proposed budget. Yes.
Hi, Arlen. I have a question just for clarification, probably, but when you say a house is valued at $350,000 and they pay $910 per year, per 6 months, per quarter.
Well, that's per year. That would be
for the Curie part.
That's correct.
Yeah, so this is the only thing we have control over.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. So that's clarification. Right. So because my tax bill has never been that low.
Right? That's right. Yeah, two-thirds of the money goes to New Hanover County.
Yeah, okay, and so my question then is, does New Hanover County then tack on their additional tax for Curie's additional tax? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, see, they go through the same process that we're doing right here.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the initial proposal that I've heard, I believe, is
5 or 5.5
mm-hmm. cents increase. Yep. So about a 10% increase.
So they're going to
propose, yes, on their part.
On their part.
Yes.
So yep. When you show the increase here, you're only talking about Curie's increase.
Right.
That's
but
correct.
For people who pay tax as one payment,
right. Yep.
It could be potentially right. Larger.
It will be larger.
Just try to understand.
Right. And the thing with that is, you get the tax bill, and it's always what people think, like, well, I'm paying all this tax security means. We're really, as David said, we're
less than
a third
of
the amount. Yeah, less than a third.
Yeah, I would not mind paying all my tax security. What I worry about is the other bill that comes and says.
Right. And I'm not sure, you know, whether they're going to end up with a 5 cent increase or because I think something similar was proposed last year and I think they settled at 2 cents
mm-hmm.
last year.
And so it's just an estimate, but when you talk about the numbers, it's 5 cents or 5%.
For New Hanover, yeah. I'm sorry, I think I heard it's either 5 or 5.5 cents. About a 10% increase.
Thank you.
Okay. Arlen, thank you. Thank you very much. I think the people still here can appreciate the amount of work and investigation that goes into preparing this and offering any increases is always heavily studied. Nice job, Arlen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Are there,
Mr. Mayor, for instance, any motion?
I'm sorry?
I need a motion from council to accept the proposed budget ordinance, message and fee schedule, and to direct the town clerk to advertise the public hearing on June 9th at 6:30 p.m. and to make the budget, proposed budget available for inspection by the public.
Okay.
So
moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Nancy. Keep us straight. Building department.
Just a quick update on H Avenue Beach Access. It's nearing completion. The only thing outstanding is the handrail that runs along the entire length of the ramp. It's being fabricated and should be installed by Memorial Day weekend.
Good. That'll be completion of that ramp?
Yes, sir.
Good. So, thank you, John.
So it is for use now? It just doesn't have the correct handrail?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Okay.
So,
and that's okay? We don't have any worries about that? Or
contracted job site right now.
Okay.
Solar lighting, we do have a meeting with our grant writer tomorrow morning to discuss the solar lighting, since that part of the contract has not been in the realm of snow debris. So that's the only other thing that needs to come to pass. I'll keep you updated about that.
Okay. Police Department. Public Works Department. Okay, that'll conclude the consideration of department head business, and we'll move into discussion and consideration of old business. Section 1, Chapter 19, Zoning Ordinance Regarding Container Dwellings. Open for discussion.
First off, I'd like to say planning has been working on this for months, probably 6 to 8 months, John, at least, under former Chairman Oliver and now Ellen. They've done a great job, a lot of work into it. So now it's up to us.
Yeah, and I think for the citizens that are here, the council didn't bring this up because we think we should put them in town, as some speakers may have at least implied. The council's responding to something that happened next door, and both P&Z and the council have been very focused on this to make sure that we give our building inspector clear guidance on what we want in town and not in town. So when we pushed it back to P&Z to seek public input, I think it was implied that we had a position already staked out. I don't think in conversations with the council did. So I just recognize that the council pushing P&Z to get ahead of an issue is exactly what we should do, and especially with the changes that the state legislature has made in what we can and cannot restrict in town, it's even more important that P&Z look out into the world and see what's going on in communities and bring it back to us so we can decide if we want it here. Because if we don't explicitly restrict it, it's allowed. That's not how it used to be. So that's a pretty big change for all small communities, and I would like Joe really compliment P&Z for the work they did. I'm ready to make a motion if you guys are. We'll have any discussion.
Any other comment?
Make a motion that we approve option one, which is to not allow containers to be used as housing in the city limits of Cure Beach.
Second.
All right, we have a motion, we have a second. So we shall have a vote. All in favor of the motion as proposed, banning container houses.
Aye.
All say aye. 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 Any nay?
Nay.
Okay. It's 3-1. We are banning.
Well, no. So now do we have to have a public hearing for the changes? Attorneys, or we're good?
They're right here.
Okay. Okay. I just want to make sure. Good. Okay, good. Thanks. Sorry about that.
Okay.
You need, if I could interrupt, you're gonna need a consistency statement. And I don't know.
There's one in the packet if you could make another motion.
That's what I was asking.
And adopted in compliance with the consistency statement.
Do they do this Sixth Amendment eventually through an ordinance, or is it done the other way? Because somewhere I need an appropriate finding of fact that I've mentioned before in order to legitimize your governmental purpose.
Right.
For example, on the consistency statement, you could say that your action is reasonable and in the best interest of the public because it furthers the goal of the zoning ordinance chapter and helps to stabilize and preserve property values. But I really encourage that some piece of paper somewhere have that type of finding.
It's part of
the developer refused to submit it with every change in the zoning.
It's he always has it.
Sent where in the packet? Because I'm looking under old business and don't see it.
There should be in your packet under public hearing.
Public hearing. Thank you. Sorry, I was looking in the wrong place. There you go.
Okay.
Two red in the records of motion. I would like to make another motion then. Let me find the right one.
It would be that we're going to amend the ordinance.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking to three. All right, make sure I read the right one.
Yeah, I'm looking for it.
Thank you. Okay, so make a motion that the Planning and Zoning Commission consistency statement in accordance with North Carolina General Statute 160A-383 regarding container housing as follows. This recommendation is consistent with the objectives and policies of the Town of Curie Beach Land Use Plan adopted by Town Council September 27, 2006, adopted and certified by Coastal Resources Commission November 17, 2006. This recommendation applies to Section 8, Part 1 of the Town of Curie Beach Land Use Plan, subsection Constraints to Development. Consideration of recommended text amendments to the Town of Curie Beach Code A, Chapter 19, Zoning Article 1, Definitions, Building, Amending. B, Chapter 19, Zoning Article 1, Definitions, Adding Container. C, Section 1979.5, Uses That Are Prohibited, Amend. The Planning and Zoning Commission considers this recommendation to be reasonable and in the public interest based on the following. One, clearly and specifically identify building and container. Two, to propose test amendments prohibiting the use of containers as buildings in light of the emerging interest in containers. Three, to prohibit the use of containers as residential or any type of building in any zoning district. Four, limit town liability and compliance with North Carolina Supreme Court decision Byrd versus Franklin County by expressly identifying containers as a prohibited use. So moved. Did that meet all your requirements, attorney?
Yes.
Attorneys? Second attorney? Yes?
Okay.
If you need to bring something else to us, please do as part of the motion so we can fix it. Here's my motion.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Good.
Okay. Very good. So that's consistency statement and the position.
Good.
Okay. Moving on to update on ATVs on the Beach Strand for handicap.
It's what I gave earlier. We've done a lot of digging, trying to find out what's going on in the state and throughout the nation. And one of our attorneys has requested a closed session so that he can inform us of the legal aspects of it.
Excellent.
Okay, very good. Resolution for the E Avenue Beach Access. Nancy?
Yes, a few months back, we received approval from council to submit a pre-application for a CAMA grant to pave the E Avenue Beach Access and install solar lighting. We also submitted a pre-application at the same time to pave the I Avenue Beach Access and install solar lighting. We did receive a notice from CAMA that our pre-apps were accepted and they invited us to do a final app, which is pretty much an assurance that we get the grant. So this is just resolution allowing us to submit the final grant for both of those. I need a motion to adopt resolution R1609 for the E Avenue Beach Access grant. It does require a cash match of $11,257 if we are approved, but that won't be until the fiscal year budget 17-18. And also adopt resolution R1610 for the I Avenue Beach Access parking grant. That will require a cash match of $14,121 in the fiscal year 17-18 budget, if approved.
Did Sonny give you any input?
No. I'll provide him copies of all the information.
Okay.
Okay. So we have a resolution to... for 1609 and resolution 1610, both for CAMA grants, both for us to form our show of the grants. Do you have a motion?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
When would that start on the
end? We probably won't even get notice until next fiscal year, okay. So around the same time after June of 2017.
Is that a North Carolina or a federal grant?
North Carolina.
Yeah, so we wouldn't want to start until after the summer.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Southern Grant Works MOU.
This is also applying to these two applications for final applications. We do have a grant writer, Diane Woolley, who has prepared the initial pre-app. This is just to authorize payment for her to finish the final apps, not to exceed $2,000, and this being charged to the committee line item. So I just need approval of that.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. All right, discussion and consideration of new business. First item, adopt the 2016 Emergency Operations Plan. Mr. Hagler?
Yep, so you were emailed last month a PDF copy. You could also look on our website to see it. You could also read it in your packet if you'd like. Basically, in the May meeting, we approve our Emergency Operations Plan for the upcoming hurricane season. We've made no changes. I noted when I was looking at it today that we need to go back and look at the training plan in Appendix B. But other than that, the plan is up to date and ready for what we need to do. And so I make a motion that we approve it as presented, recognizing that we need to come back and look at the training plan for outgoing years.
Second. You have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And then secondly with that, if you look at your calendars for June, normally we do this in late May, but my travel schedule hasn't allowed it. So I'd like permission from the council for Nancy, who left, so the other Nancy will pay attention, to advertise two hurricane communication meetings. Instead of doing it on Saturday when no one seems to come anyway, I'd like to do it June 8th at 6 p.m., which is a Wednesday, and June 10th at 6 p.m., which is a Friday. As always, after the two meetings, we'll post the PowerPoint presentation on our website for citizens that can't make it. But basically, it's an opportunity to offer citizens a discussion of what happens in Caribbean Beach with a hurricane, as well as what they should be preparing to do for themselves. So if council approves those two dates, I'll just do it here like I normally do. Typically, I have 6 to 8 people, so not very many people attend. But we should advertise it, and maybe we'll have a better turnout this year.
You said 6 o'clock on the 8th, and when else?
And the 10th.
And the 10th.
Could you move the one on June 8th to 6:30?
I can for you.
Okay.
6:30 works for me.
Okay. So that'll be June 8th at 6:30 and June 10th at 6.
Just make them both 6:30 so people won't get confused. It makes it easier for Nancy.
All right.
And looking at the schedule, which they have in front of us, it doesn't look like it interferes with anything.
I think we have consensus for that.
Okay.
Gentlemen, you all agree?
Yes.
All right.
So Nancy, could you advertise?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll send you a letter to send out as well.
Okay.
Get it updated this week. And then finally, if you look in, I'll send council an email reminder, but there are, per our plan and per the FEMA federal government, for entry-level people, which is what council are considered, there are two courses that you need to take online if you haven't already taken them, IS 700 and ICS 100. Those basically just talk about how the National Incident Management System, which is adopted after Katrina because of all the problems in New Orleans, and they want to make sure that federal, state, and local governmental officials understand how the processes are supposed to work if there's a large emergency like a hurricane. I'll send that with emails to the council so you guys see the classes. They're probably about maybe 2 hours to get through them online, and they're both online. You will have to sign up for a new federal ID. You used to use your Social Security number. That's how long ago since I took it. Now you have to sign up for an ID online, and it comes right back to you. With an email address, you can use your town council email address. So I'll get those to you guys. We need those done before July 1st, before we have a hurricane.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, so the issue is FEMA has never done this, but they've said that if an entity is not keeping up with their plan and training requirements, they could withhold money. They've never done it, and I'd be amazed if they did, but we're not going
to
risk it.
Yeah,
so we'll get you guys trained. If you have problems meeting that requirement, let me know, and we'll write in an exemption for you. As long as our plan says that we're okay. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Outside showers and laundry. Mr. Adler.
Yeah, so this one is more, I want council's permission to work on a communication plan. So it's kind of in the same gist of we're letting people know, here's the big capital requirements that the town could see. This is one that could drive us to one. It's not a this year thing, but it's one of those things that over time is creeping up on us. So our sewer goes to Carolina Beach to treat. Arlen talked about we have a capital project to address some of that, but we can't address all of it. The majority of our sewer is going to always go to the wastewater treatment plant, which is managed by Carolina Beach, and Jim and I are on a board with two councilmen from Carolina Beach and set the fees and look at what happens there. Over the last couple of years, in the high summer weekends, with all the visitors we have here, we basically are peaking out on our daily limit. It's managed as a monthly limit, but if you get enough of those daily limits, the state could say you have to expand the plant. That's a really expensive thing to do. So both Carolina Beach and Curie Beach are looking at controlling that. Part of that is if you did two simple things at the big rental houses and even some of our homes, you would probably fix that problem. And those real simple things are, one, if instead of taking a shower inside where it goes to the sewer, you had outside showers for all your beach goers on July 4th weekend and, you know, August 4th weekend. And instead of washing clothes on Saturday when all of the turnover rentals are washing clothes, you wash clothes on Tuesday or Wednesday, you would fix that problem. And so I think it's important for us to communicate that to our citizens, that we could alleviate a large capital expense in the future if we control what we're doing now. And so I just want council's permission to work on that plan, provide it to staff to send out with communications to our citizens. And so I'm looking for you guys to say that's okay to do, because I don't want to send something out that the council doesn't want to be communicated.
I don't see an issue with that. You have consensus, John?
Yes.
Please, David.
Okay. Okay, thanks. And so I'll work with staff. It probably will not go out until June, but it's something simple that I think people could think about.
Okay. Item number three is three and four, actually, are two letters from Emily, and she would like commissioner's support on these letters. Both letters are in your docket. One is to Mr. Albert Eby, the executive director of Cape Fear Public Transportation, in support of requesting support, that we support the replacement of buses for Cape Fear Public Transportation Authority. They're 13 years old and they have over 500,000 miles on them, and we would send a letter of support to replace those buses. That's the first letter. The second letter is to the New Hanover County Commissioners, asking them to please continue route service from Monkey Junction to the Pleasure Island area so that our veterans, our people who have disabilities, and others will have access to transportation that they may not otherwise have. I think both letters are justifiable to go out on town letterhead with the support of all the commissioners. Do you have any comments?
Make a motion we approve and forward to the mayor for signature, both letters.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So be it. The last item under new business then is the parking lot lease. We have the parking lot lease coming due at the end of this month for the lot next to the Quick Mart downtown. We do not have all of the business money at this point in time, so Andy, I would need you to give us some type of a contingent document with the town, limited to the $2,500 that we have committed to support. And for whatever period of time we'll do that. I've talked to Sam, I've talked to the downtown businesses. I think this will be resolved shortly, but we should be prepared to have this ready by the end of May. Any questions on that, gentlemen?
What's the border?
Okay.
So that consensus is to move forward with signing the lease with some language from the attorney?
Yes, as soon as we see language and pass it to all, we'll get consensus.
Yeah, I think since do you need a motion? I'm following the motion. All right, the rest of you guys?
So
Nancy's making sure all four of us are online.
That's right.
That's what she's looking for.
I want to know how we're proceeding so that if that other funding does not come in, then that lease automatically terminates.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to draft an addendum to what we already have, stating that in the event that the others don't come forward, that we get credit for 3 months, and then the lease terminates.
Is that a percentage of the money?
Yes, it would take us through the end of August.
No, it's more than...
We normally would pay 4 payments for the year, but we pay them in 4 months. So I did talk to Sam today,
right,
and told him that we would possibly prorate it for the period of time.
Yeah, that's
so, what, and gave us a few months.
It comes out to $633.34.
No, I'm fine with that. I'm just saying the total lease, 3/8, whatever that is, it's more than 25%, because that'd be $2,000. I think it's 4 months. I can't do the math in my head because I'm tired, but I think it should be prorated to the percentage of the total amount, not to 3 months, because it's longer than that.
Well, $2,000 is all we're going to be putting.
Oh, okay.
No, that's not correct.
We put $2,500.
Well, we have the numbers in the memo.
Well,
yeah, it's right here.
We do have the numbers.
$2,400.
Right, $2,405.47.
Right.
But it'll be closer to $3,000.
It's close to $3,000. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I talked to Sam. Sam is participating with his $500, which will push us back to the old number. You did not know that today when you and I talked, so thank you for getting us together. I covered that with Sam this afternoon.
Okay.
So
then it's back to...
Yes, his contribution is
If his 500 is in. Or
25.
Yeah, 25.99.
Yep.
Take 500. Yeah, I can do that. I can do that math.
$25.99.35.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what. Yeah. So just whenever you do that, it's the percentage, however many months and days that is. I'm fine if you do it in months, but it shouldn't be 3 months because we're paying for more than that. Okay, so what do you need from us, Nancy?
Do you understand what they're doing in terms of payments?
So Arlen's happy, Nancy's happy.
Arlen's happy, Nancy's happy.
Nice, now we know who it is.
All we need to do is make...
That's right.
We always knew that.
We'll just need to try and make the owner happy. Nice. So we'll see how we do that when we have the document.
We want to protect the town.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Make the motion to go into closed session.
All right. Do I have a second?
All in favor?
For the purpose of
closed session. I can't read it.
Advisement from the attorney.
Advice from the attorney. There you go.
Thank you.
All right. Closed
session. Make a motion we return from closed session.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Okay. I make a motion that we direct the PNC attorney to investigate safety regulations requirements and any other issues around how to set up proper access for vehicle or...
For individuals with mobility disabilities.
For individuals with mobility disabilities to the public beach strand.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so noted.
Make a motion we close.
I move we close and end our council meeting.
That was the answer.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So you want to be on, or you want me to be on, or you want to
go ahead? Ahead. You can
I think he's a PNZ guy, right?
He's the guy who voted wrong.
She stayed around to talk to someone. You want it?